Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, Diddledy Doug.
Hey, Dougarino.
I was just thinking to myself, like, how long am I going to play this game of really trying to come up with a different way of saying hello at the beginning of every episode? Like, I got to give it up at some point, right? It just gets to be, I might as well just start with, you know, something I want to talk about. Just be like, hey, Doug, and then get right into it.
A lot of ways to say hi, though. So, you know.
Yeah, but how many episodes have we done now? I try to say something different every time. I'm sure there's got to be a few, like, repeaters in there, you'd think, right?
Somewhere. I don't know, though. I feel like it's been pretty steady with improv and newness.
All right. So today we have as our guest, this one is our guest is phoning it in literally from Florida, Fort Lauderdale region, I believe. She's participated in my podcast there and stand-up shows and in Miami and Tampa. And her name is always, I always panic that I'm saying it wrong because, you know, I've had situations where I host my own shows, you know, so I have to introduce people a lot. So there's a few names out there that haunt me and because I don't want to screw it up. But I'm going to say it now, and then we'll see what happens once we start talking to her. Her name is Lisa Correo.
Dun, dun, dun.
Have you ever met her?
I don't think so, but
right.
You know,
I love that you never. I love that you're always unsure. I'm sure if you were, you know, calling comedians that you knew, it would be the same thing with me. I'd be like, I guess, yeah, okay, maybe.
She's gonna be like, we're best friends, and I'm like, damn it.
Yeah, well, then we're gonna have to kick you out of the house because that's like, you know, that's like reality TV behavior. Let's go to work. I don't know why, but the song felt longer today than normal. Hello. Hello, Lisa.
Hello. So you warned me that you were like, we're going to play this loud, obnoxious music. It wasn't loud or obnoxious. It was fine and great.
Good.
Well, I just warn people more in terms of if you don't have the, you know, if you're not aware that it's going to come in hot.
That it would be shocking. You know. Yeah, I braced. Yeah.
And it would be too much, you know, like if you had the volume up. I don't know how high you got the volume up.
But, I was waiting to be blown away here and I was kind of let down.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, that's what I like to do is raise expectations constantly and always be a letdown. And we discussed this I discussed it with Doug earlier in the cold open and then I discussed it with you and I was definitely going to say your name wrong. But then you cut me off because of the discussion about the theme song. And so I'm going to attempt to do it right now correctly. Okay. And that is Correo.
You know, it's close enough.
Correo.
Yeah, I would, like, if you said it that way, I would just be like, that's a great accent. But I think I'm saying my own name with an accent. But I say Correo. So it's basically.
You ever tempted to roll the R's?
Okay, so
it really difficult.
Yeah, it's supposed to be said with rolled R's. So my Italian cousins in Italy where this name came from, they say Corral, and they're like, why do you say Correo? And I think that when my grandparents came over, they realized not a lot of people could roll their R's, at least not the people, sort of signing them in, whoever those people are signing you into the country at that time. And they're
Yeah.
like, say, just say Correo. Like, it was probably however they said it. And they're like, yeah, go with that.
No, they had a bunch of like real tight asses running those things probably, and
Yeah.
just had to make it easier for them, like so that they don't lash
Yeah.
out or refuse entry.
Sure. I'm sure it wasn't like people trying to pronounce names, like you do in your home country, Can you imagine them being that progressive ever? I'm sure they maybe they were progressive for that time, just the fact that they were like, "Hey, let's get you all set up here."
Yeah, maybe there was were the nice people in law enforcement or whatever, is the
Right.
immigration people might have been welcoming. We don't know.
We don't know.
It does feel like, time and time again you hear stories of how difficult it is. But speaking of immigration, you live in Florida.
I do.
Which is they have strong opinions down there about such matters.
Yeah, they have strong opinions about all matters. I say they like I also don't live here, but yeah, a lot of people in Florida have. It dawned on me the other day, and I've lived here my whole life, but it dawned on me the other day that, of course, Florida is flat. But I made the connection that we also have a lot of flat earthers, and I wonder if that's connected in any way.
I
Oh
think
my
so. I don't, you don't hear a lot about like mountain men talking about flat earth, like I
God.
think they get it. I think
Right.
but you never know. It's such an interesting place because I love it. I love Florida because I'm really into the weather. I like that it's warm and and then also it has because of the warmth, much like Southern California, it's amusement parks that I adore, but get to spend less time at because
Oh,
I'm not
yeah.
in Florida that much. It's a whole thing. But I'm trying to come back there soon. But my we got lots of questions about your name today, but I just have some questions prior to that that I'd like to ask if you don't mind. And oh,
Yes.
really quickly, let me introduce into the conversation. Oh, we already talked to Doug, didn't we? I forget. I forget which podcast I'm on. I just take
There's
over.
so many Dougs, it's really confusing.
Yeah, well, that's why, we like to think that we're one of the easiest shows to come on because all you have to do is anytime either one of us speaks, you could just say that's right, Doug, or no, Doug, and then
So easy.
the whole conversation is just about your own name, which our guests, it turns out, have a lot of opinions about. But before I get to that, because I'm fascinated by Florida in general, living in Florida, how often do you, Lisa Correo, go to Disney World?
Ooh, that's a great question. Not as much as I want to go, but I've been a bazillion times, Doug and Doug. Listen, I'm a big fan of theme parks too. I do not poo-poo them. I don't refer to myself as a Disney adult. However, I'm a big fan. But I like all theme parks. You give me a crappy side of the road theme park, I am so into it. But yes, Disney, I go often. I just want to know something. I just went to Paris for the first time, and I went to Disneyland in Paris, and I didn't want to tell people about it because people were like, "Why'd you take precious days from your Paris trip to go to Disneyland?" So I kind of like didn't mention it to too many people.
So
And
now you're going to talk about
I didn't
it
want to
on
get shamed, but that was pre-trip. And then I gotta tell you, I loved it. I went in with low expectations because I was kind of like, why am I doing this? Right? Like, what are we doing? And I went with my daughter and we had a blast. But The thing I love the most about it was, well, there's a lot of things, right? But the thing that I love the most was that I felt like a kid again, because it was like being at Disney for the first time, because everything was like a little different. It's a little different.
They
Oh,
all
it felt
smoke
so
cigarettes.
great.
It's all a little
Yeah.
bit off and
Yeah,
probably weird
Mickey's
to be.
smoking.
There's so much
Yeah.
of Disneyland that's got already got European design, like Fantasyland. So then you're actually in Europe in this European. It's crazy.
I loved it. I wanted to spend more time there, but I was like, I gotta go see real Paris now. And I'm gonna share something real quick, Doug and Doug, that I loved. Okay, Star Tours. They have a Star Tours there. It's just
Oh.
like the Florida one, except for a minor difference is that apparently French people are super afraid of Darth Vader, which you're supposed to be afraid of Darth Vader, but no one ever is. I mean, Darth Vader came on the screen. They were just, it was blood-curdling screams. It was so enjoyable. It was just amazing.
That is hilarious. They
Oh,
take
I loved
their
it.
villains and monsters so seriously in some places.
As you should. Right? Oh, it was beautiful.
There were people that I used to, did, for a brief time I was a tour guide at Universal Studios in Hollywood, and the part where you go through in the big animatronic, now it's a 3D King Kong, but there used to be like a big animatronic that would, shake the bridge that the tram is driving across inside of a soundstage. And I mean, it's already a giveaway that it's fake when they go, okay, we're going into a soundstage where there's a ape on the loose, and then you pull in and it's like you're supposed to be outside on a bridge. But anyway, and people, the tourists from other countries, maybe an occasional, country bumpkin or something, but for the most part, the tourists from other countries would lose their shit trying to like they'd squirm in their seats trying to get as far away from the animatronic ape as they could. Like they re really thought they really
That.
were trying. If there was room to get up and run, they would. If
Yeah.
they're, stuck in a
Yes.
tram with nowhere to run.
It makes it
It's
so much more
wild. And I'd
enjoyable.
sit there and watch it just in la sitting there laughing, it's crazy.
Oh, I love it.
Because our the job of the tour guide is to try to ramp, get everybody all pumped up and act like everything is real, so it's like then these people are convinced they really should be scared and feel terrible about it. But speaking of scary attractions, this is a sidebar I did not intend to go on today, but I just got back from a film festival in Austin, Texas called Fantastic Fest, where they showed a documentary about back in the 1990s ish, there was an amusement park in Massachusetts out in the woods at a farm that this genius bought and turned into a, first it was a haunted hayride, and then it became and then it eventually became Spooky World, which was a like a combination of ride, carnival rides and stuff, and monsters coming out at you and stuff. It was basically like creating the haunted houses and the not scary farm type things that we know today. Started at this one place. So there's a whole documentary about it and how popular it was in the Northeast, but like, the rest of the country barely even I don't remember anything about it personally. But it's a fun documentary. It's called Spooktacular.
Spooktacular.
So check that out if you get a chance. So I want a number, Lisa. How many days a year are you at Disney World? Because you said not enough. You said not enough, but you also don't call yourself a Disney adult.
Yeah, I don't currently have an annual pass.
That's
But
good.
years prior, I would get a Florida resident pass, like their cheapest one, where it has a lot of blackout dates, and it's only good for like Monday through Friday, and like not during the summer or like other busy times. So it basically any time that kids are in school, this pass would be good for. And I currently don't have that pass. So I haven't been to Disney. It's been too long, other than this Paris trip. But normally, I guess if I normal Lisa would go like 3 to 4 times a year for sure.
Well, I love that pass that you were describing because that'd be what I was looking for because I want to go when it's less crowded
Exactly. It's
and
the best time to
they're
go.
forcing you to go the best times and you get a good price. I've never heard of that that particular style of discounted ticket
Oh, it's the best
here in
ticket.
Southern
Yeah.
California because maybe they just get more like you can't like fly into California to Los Angeles from anywhere else. And not just get an earful about the zoo, SeaWorld, Disneyland. You know, there's like three or four things that like everybody feels like they have to go to
Oh.
when they're in the area. Whereas you go to Florida, holy cow, there's like so much to do
Yeah.
there that like, you know, Disney World has to, you know, I think remain more seriously competitive. Like, and also like here in LA, I'm not going to turn this into Doug's theme park corner, but here in LA, the Magic Mountain, the Six Flags theme park, they they're such pussies. No, they are only open like, you know, they have really weird hours because you know, they just can't sustain it like Disneyland here in LA. You know, they can be open 7 days a week and they're just busy every day because
Yeah.
people, you know, because kids in buses go to Disney. You know what I mean? They ship them there. So
Oof.
yeah, it's crazy. They're always pretty busy, but then like Universal Studios and Magic Mountain here, you just go on the right day and time, and
Oh yeah.
they're pretty ghosty. They can be
Oh,
pretty.
I love a ghosty theme park.
But you know,
And you love
Universal's really
Spooky Town.
fighting it. Universal's fighting it with you know, the Harry Potter shit's very popular and even though it's much more expansive at the Florida one. I'm giving them too much. I'm giving these big studios that the strike is fighting against. I'm giving them too much airtime on this very popular podcast where we're going to talk to you, Lisa, about your name. But first, a few can we I'd like to do a few warm-up questions if you don't mind.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Tattoos. What's your tattoo status? How
My
tattooed
tat.
are you?
I am not tattooed at all.
Wow.
I like tattoos on other people, but I know me very well and how I tend to change my mind so often on things that I like and things, you know, looking back over my record of things that I thought were awesome, and now I know they're definitely not. And like, I should probably not get a tattoo, but I do admire them on other people. I see wonderful artwork all the time. I don't know that I don't think I'm ever gonna get one. Maybe once I get, you know, right before like a month before I die, I want the 1 month warning. I'm like, time to get tatted up. Let's do all the things I've said I would never do. I'm gonna do crack. And I'm gonna have an orgy. I'm just gonna eat nothing but like mac and cheese. And yeah, tattoos. Boom.
Doug, do you want to tell her how many tattoos you have?
Well, I don't know the full number. I did just get a new one, so plus
Ooh.
one. But it is funny, like talking about like, you know, the things that, you know, you thought were cool when you were younger. You know, it's better for a lot of people not to do it. I was talking to someone recently that was working on a full sleeve, and they were probably like 22, and they were telling me all about it, and it stressed me out because I wanted to say something, but I didn't. But in my head, I'm like, you're probably not going to like what you're doing here like 20 years from now. And it, you know, like that's full sleeve. That's so much real estate. What do you even do? That's a lot to cover up. Can you even
Is
cover
that
up a
what
sleeve? Like,
what the tattoo was? It was a tattoo of real estate. It's just like rows of homes.
just a map on his arm. But
Yeah, you're gonna regret that later.
I probably should have said something, but I didn't. It's, you know, I have a lot of mistakes, but they're stupid and I don't care. They don't take up a lot of room, so who cares? But
This Why guy. Do you got to be responsible for that person?
Well, I don't, yeah. But I like the person, you know?
Right, but then you're just like, then what if they spend 20 years being mad at you because they never got that sleeve they wanted so bad?
True. 20 years from now, I really wanted that. You talked me out of it.
I was walking around with a freaking naked arm all these years.
Just because I talked to the wrong guy.
I want a tattoo of another arm, another smaller arm on my arm.
I mean, just the number of tattoos that are hilarious when spoken, and then, you know, how often is the payoff really there? Like, whenever somebody shows you their tattoo, like, get ready to laugh, it's that the payoff's never there. What's the funniest one you've ever seen, Doug?
Ooh, funniest tattoo. Probably a mistake. You know, something that was laughed at, not, you see a lot of those, but yeah, joke tattoos, most of, I saw one recently where it was like Grandpa from The Simpsons rattling off one of his old tales, but they had like every word from it, like down the scroll, and it went down his entire arm. It was a lot of commitment, but very funny.
Oh, it's such a big commitment. Yeah.
Yeah, it sure is.
I think that one would make me laugh though.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
what about, okay, so, you know, you had a very in line with everybody we talked to who doesn't have tattoos, including myself. You're very in lockstep with everybody in terms of like them, but it's just not for you, and also the permanence. So in the world of names and permanence, have you ever been in a position to name a pet?
Oh, yes. So many pets have been named. I don't want to tell you my first pet because that's a security question out there. You know, maybe is that what this podcast is? You're searching for.
Oh, my God. I never even thought about it like that. But just the way I'm so insistent about these weird details that it very much could be like a.
What is your mother's maiden name? That was, since we're talking about names.
It's funny because you can't also just give it a fake name, because then that's avoiding the point of the question. You know, what name did you give an animal? That, you know, because then that animal gets stuck with that name. So could you give us an example that you'd never use as a security question?
Oh, gosh, wait. An example of a security question that I'd never use?
No, an animal you've named where it's never going to be like the security question.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I've named so many pets. But one of the great ones that I really, really, I still love the name. She came with the name. So I had a Chihuahua named Buddy. May Buddy rest in peace. And he got his name because my dog previously had a name that I would still just like call him Buddy, as like, you know, he's my buddy. And then I thought, if I ever have another dog, I'm just going to name it Buddy, cut out the middleman, right? So I had Buddy the Chihuahua. And I thought, if I got a girl Chihuahua, I would name her Holly, have Buddy Holly. It's just cute, right? So I adopted a female Chihuahua with the full name of full intention of renaming her. I'm gonna hide her name for a second. Okay. So I got to tell you a couple things about this Chihuahua. Okay. She was old. And she was sick, and she was at this shelter, and they were ready to euthanize her because she was also aggressive. Okay, old, sick, aggressive. No one wants this dog, right? She's a black Chihuahua, and her name that they had at the shelter, they called her Fruit Bat because she looks like a fruit bat. I thought, there's no way anyone's adopting her, because they didn't even give her like a proper noun for a name. They just called her a fruit bat.
Excuse me, you've left me looking in the fruit bat section. I'd like a dog, please.
She looked like a fruit bat.
Wow.
So I fully intended on changing her name to Holly, but guess what? Fruit bat stuck. Because actually, I was like, that's a cool name. Yeah, oh, and people are like, what? Her name is Fruit Bat? I'm like, hell yeah, her name's Fruit Bat.
It just seems mean, but I guess if you say it in nice tones, in loving tones, the dog doesn't know that it's negative.
I know, that's what happened. It became awesome. And she was, and I can't believe I adopted her based on all the information they gave me. But I was going through a period of time where I felt unwanted. It, like, you know, I was feeling that way. And I thought, this animal is unwanted. And they're going to euthanize her. She's on the chopping block. No one's going to adopt her. I go, you know what? I'm gonna get her sold anyway. How long is she going to live, right? So I went and got her, and I remember my daughter was little when I got her, but I pick her up and she's in my lap driving home with her, and she's just wheezing, and there was like chunks of fur falling off of her. Like, she was, I'm like, is she gonna survive through the night? Like, she was like growling, like she could barely see. She couldn't blink. She had an eye infection, so her eyes were just like bugged out. And my daughter, when I pulled up, my daughter's with my parents being babysat while I picked her up. We pull up within the car. My daughter comes running out of the house. I open the car door and she sees this pile of wheezing dog. And she goes, "She's beautiful." Like, she's crying. And Fruba became a great dog, actually. And she lived two nice long years. And she was a great pet. So there's Fruit Bat. It's a long story to get to her name.
Yeah, sounds like Fruit Bat hung out with some real a-holes and just needed, you know, love like that to, you know, turn things around.
Exactly. Fruity. And, a little fruity.
And I think you can teach, you know, some dogs, I guess, don't give a shit about tricks for treats or whatever, but I think old dogs can be. The new theory I have that old dogs can be taught new tricks.
Oh, totally. I taught her a lot of tricks. She was a great pet.
All right. Well, congratulations. You avoided giving us any security words. At least these don't match the ones I already had from the internet. Do you do on your social media or just anywhere in your life, do you have fun with your name every October? You know, change it to something, you know, some sort of pun.
I only on pun. Zoom, only on Zoom, which you can see, but of course your listeners can't. But yeah, all that I do is on Zoom, I change my name to Lise. Just add some H's on the A, like, That's as spooky as I get with my name. I don't know if you have any other ideas, I'm open to them, but I definitely don't change it on social media. I would be afraid I would forget how I did it and not be able to change it back.
That's exactly where I'm at. It's like a fucking tattoo, pretty much, you know, like, I just can't, I can't make the leap because, because there was a time, you know, when it was becoming X and everything, where that was the thing, is if you change your name, you couldn't change it back. You couldn't change it again. And because I used to put my tour dates in there sometimes, and in October, I'd change it to like my first name to Bug or something like that. But it's now I just don't. I'm the same way. I'm just kind of like, well, it's fun to change your name for Halloween, but how fun is it going to be if it sticks?
It's stuck, yeah. And then, you know, you've got some kind of spooky Doug, and it's, you know, January. You're still spooky Doug.
I mean, it's a pretty bleak month if you look at it. Like, it's kind of more Halloween-y than October.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That is,
you know,
true, I guess.
Because the trees are just dead.
True.
That's a good point, actually.
Let's have a no more holidays.
All right. And what about, okay, so how much do you talk about your daughter when you're, you know, doing comedy or being interviewed and stuff?
You know, just about what I already have. I'm trying to, like, hide her from the world, but I don't do too many jokes about her. I think early on I had, like, a little story about her on a huge reaction to. It was like one of those A jokes, like, you knew, get a big laugh with any crowd. And my daughter told me, she asked me to stop doing it, which I thought was really like, oh, honey, I didn't even ask if I could talk about you. I didn't even think about that. And it turns out like she would get kind of like embarrassed if I ever talked about her. So I just stopped writing jokes about her altogether. So
Oh.
yeah, I don't do too much with my daughter in my own content, I guess. Other than saying, yeah, I'm a mom. I have a daughter, and that's about it.
Yeah, Doug's over there saying, "Oh, I now I've got another reason to not have kids."
You think they're good for material, but
They're
they're
not
really
going to want to
not.
be in the act, and screw that. Forget
What's the
about
point?
it.
Good
Yeah,
point.
no point in that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the only other thing, because I was, if somebody wanted to talk about it, we get into like, how you came up with your kid's name, but I don't,
Oh
like you,
yeah.
it's
No,
not
I don't
worth
mind
digging
saying
into.
her. Well, without digging very far, so my grandmother's name was Josephine. My Italian grandmother is very close to, and spent a lot of time with her when I was little. She kind of I would stay with her when my parents would work, and so I spent a lot of time with her. So I named her after that grandmother, which is Josie. I call her Josie.
What was her maiden name? I'm kidding. Okay, so what about objects? Are you a person that, do you own a boat or do you have a car that you gave a name, or are you just not that kind of person?
Yeah, I'm not really an object namer too much. I tried to give my car a name, but it didn't really stick. I don't call my car that name, but I tried to name it's a black car, and I'm like, yo, Black Beauty. And I don't say, hey, Black Beauty. I don't, So I'm like, why did I give you a name? I love you either way, car. We don't have to name. I'm actually trying to write a bit right now. I kind of playing around with this on state. Let's workshop this, guys. But
Hey.
we name hurricanes here in Florida,
Yeah.
and so I kind of talk about that a little bit on stage. But the part that I've mentioned a couple times and haven't gotten it to work. So I noticed that we name things that we want to humanize them. We make them more important. Like the reason we name hurricanes is so people take them seriously and evacuate if you have to evacuate. And I'm like, why don't we should have named like the pandemic. We should have given it a name, like give it a human name, maybe next pandemic, or like climate change. If we named, if we just referred to it as Frank, melting icebergs, maybe people would take it seriously. I it's more of like an interesting concept than it maybe it'll be a bit one day, but I do think about these things, guys, like naming inanimate things, but I loved Herbie. Herbie came to life.
Well, that's the thing, is I think that that's it's only people tend to name things like in movies and stuff, like when it is like gonna, when special effects are gonna actually bring it to life, and it's gonna, you know what I mean? There's never like an inanimate object that has a cutesy name in a movie and then it just stays an inanimate object the whole time. Like it always has some sort of life to it, I think. I could be wrong.
Oh yeah.
What do they call that little rug in Aladdin, the flying carpet? Does he just call
Oh
him Ruggy or
yeah.
something like that?
Ruggy. Tassels?
What? Is that real?
Tassels? Tassily? They call him Tassily. I like the way he like uses tassels to communicate like their hands. But
That's right.
anyway,
Pyle,
David
Fromer, Pyle.
David
Pyle.
Tasselhoff.
Oh
Oh
no.
you're brilliant.
That's the thing, is I think a lot of people when they do name a car, it's like either a name like a braggy name or a jokey name. But there also has to be other people involved. You know what I mean? If you're not seeing
Yeah.
people around your car that much, but like your Black Beauty thing, that could have maybe caught on if
Yeah.
If you had people running to get in, you know, I call shotgun an old black beauty, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Could start
That's
to
the
happen.
Thing is, to me, it's got to be like maybe an old car that gets in. Like when we were kids, my dad had a van that was really rusty, and there was one rust hole that was so big you could just put your fist through. You could just fist this van, and we did call it Rusty. Like that was its name. We named the van Rusty. So that was kind of cute. You know, it's kind of that's what the name's got to be. It can't, Black Beauty, that was dumb. What was I thinking? I need a new name for my car, everybody. Message me.
Picture some names, you know, because that could be fun. All right, I just want to say one more thing. We got to take a commercial break, but I want to say one more thing before we go to break, is people something to chew on. And that is, today is Mean Girls Day.
Really?
Yeah, October 3rd is the date they mention in the movie Mean Girls, and so it's sort of become Mean Girls Day. And but you know, much like how Fetch isn't catching on for that one character in the movie, Mean Girls Day, I don't think people really acknowledge it much. But if you know, if you do want to acknowledge it, you've got 363 days to get it together, because this episode that we're taping right now isn't going to come out on Mean Girls Day. It's going to come out 2 days later.
Whoa. Oh no.
I should have started with 2 days ago was Mean Girls Day. Yeah, we're taping early this week because I forget why, but it's scheduling on somebody's part, probably mine. Yeah, it's probably me. I think it's all me. So, Lisa, we're going to talk about you and your name right after these messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure, with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We're back. We're here with Lisa Correo. She doesn't even say it right, so don't worry about it. Let me try it once, though. Correo.
Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well,
It's
it was
yeah,
good.
this.
It was a good
Yeah.
try because
Yeah, it wasn't
you rolled the
perfect.
R's. Yeah, but in Italy, I'll tell you, they lose the AO part. They go growl like that. Try it
Oh,
again.
right. Like a tiger or something.
Yeah, say it like a tiger.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it. Do it.
Corral.
Yes.
Corral, corral. We are here with Lisa Corral. And what was it like? How do you feel about the name Lisa? Let's just start there. What was it like growing up Lisa?
Love being a Lisa. And I should say I have a middle name, which is Marie. And so
Hey,
I was
slow
Lisa.
down, slow down.
Well, it goes every I say this for a
It
reason.
does. You do have to say it. You do. You're right.
Yeah, because so I was born in 1975. I don't mind giving away my age at all. Okay, so 1975, you think about this time period. Okay, Elvis, he's got a little daughter. My dad, if you look at pictures of my dad in the 70s, he's got pork chop sideburns. So what, you know, hey, he's got a daughter. It's got to be same as Elvis's. Lisa Marie is born. So there you go. I don't mind being a Lisa. My parents would call me Lisa Magisa. growing up, which I really thought was cute.
Whoa, never heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have fun with it.
Yeah, Lisa Magisa.
How young did
Oddly.
that start?
As early as I can remember on that one. My brothers maybe didn't so much have a nice nickname for me. They would not call me Lisa Magisa. My two brothers would call me Leet. So that was the nickname they gave me.
It sounded like you got like we cut the audio when you said it, like we were trying to bleep out a terrible word, but could you say it
Oh,
again?
leech, like a
Leech.
blood
Okay.
sucking leech.
Oh
Well, yeah,
my
because
God.
that's already interesting that because of the Marie part, the Lisa had you know, wasn't short for anything. It's just Lisa, like you know, there's a lot of Lisas out there that are Elizabeths or you know, a Lisa and that kind of thing shortened down.
Yeah.
So in line with your parents and the Lisa Magisa thing, is it bother you when somebody you barely know thinks that you're like sitting around Central Perk on Friends and she calls you Lise?
Oh, I don't mind Elise. I think that's cute when someone like goes. I like that some people like to go for like a quick little like they're gonna say my name so much they gotta have a quick abbreviation. I like that they where their mind is going. So when I hear Elise, I'm like, hey, yeah, I see you. That's nice. I can go for Elise.
That's an excellent point that when someone gives you a quick nickname, they're probably going to at least remember that and probably even your actual name because they've already, you know, dealt with it in such a specific way. You know, I never have been a fan of it, but now I'm thinking it's kind of a way of
Yeah,
them saying, I'm going to remember you. I am going to be saying this more, so I might as well already say it
yeah.
my
You
way.
know, and I notice that Italians do it a lot with each other, and if they like you, they'll give you a little cute nickname, maybe if they don't like you too, but you know, it's definitely something my dad calls me Lise all the time, you know, so when I guess when someone says it, I'm like, oh yeah, that's cute. Go for it. Why not?
I just figured out though, it's got to be based off of your actual name. Because, like on The Office, when Andy Bernard keeps, when he starts calling Jim Big Tuna, it's based on nothing but his own just weird words that he decided to designate, you know, instead of Jimbo or, you know, something along those lines. All right. So we usually don't get to somebody's middle name so quickly. That was such a
Oh.
exciting turn. Let's talk about just Lisa because the Marie part only comes out when you share it with people or they see
Got to
your
share the
driver's
Elvis part.
license. Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, so mostly just people like myself have just known you as Lisa, you know. Did has anybody ever latched on to that though and actually just referred to you as Lisa Marie just casually or
Nope. No
that's
one has
good.
ever
That's
casually
good.
called me Lisa Marie, and it was never something that my parents used when I was in trouble. I know a lot of people say that their parents would use their full name when they were in trouble.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
never had that. I have some friends who call me. It just dawned on me with the lease. I have just a couple of friends who call me Lise the Peace. It's, you know, totally is like a compliment. Hey, she's a piece. So they call me
Yeah, what
Lise
are
the
they, your
Peace.
friends from the 50s? How old are these
They
people?
are. They really are. I love people who act like old people. It's great. And I love actual old people. But yeah, Lise the Peace. Hey. But I like it too because I really like this old lady called Peace Pilgrim. She's like this old lady who just she gave up all of her personal belongings and like walked all over America like Forrest Gump, but not running, walking, just spreading the word of peace. And her name was Peace Pilgrim, so they called her Peace for short. So I kind of like think of Peace Pilgrim, like hey, at least the peace, like world peace. But they're saying I'm like, hey, you're a piece of ass.
I took it as world peace. I like the positive
Oh,
spin, but
thank you.
well,
Yeah,
that's
no, I was thinking that too.
it as you will.
For sure. So any Lisas that you looked up to because it's a, I wouldn't say it's extremely common, but there's, I could think of a handful of celebrities named Lisa, just, you know, off the top of my head.
Help me.
Okay.
Who else? And I'll tell you if the, if I look up to them or not. Let's see.
Lisa Kudrow.
Oh, yeah. She seems great.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's the thing I'm going to, you're going to find out about these Lisas is they, Lisas just, I feel like tend to be like unassuming. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
You know, just sort of chill. Lisa Bonet.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
I don't know if any of these are Elizabeths. They're definitely not Lisa Marie's. I could tell you that. We had a friend, a comedian on the show. We didn't even talk about her name, Lisa, because we talked about she works with dogs. So we talked about dogs the whole time.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, there's a few subjects. If I if they come up around me, unfortunately, I dwell on them, especially if the guest is interested in it. And yeah. She loves dogs. Her name's Lisa. Lisa Delarios is her name.
Hey,
she's a nice Lisa.
Yeah. I don't know her, but she seems great.
No, she's awesome. Lisa and Cult Jam, remember them?
Oh yeah. Anytime I'm around another Lisa, I'm like, hey, you know, when there's two Lisas in the room, everyone else automatically becomes the Cult Jam.
So there's a high rate of run-ins with other Lisas.
Hardly ever meet any other Lisas. There's
really
not a lot out there. It's becoming an old name. You know, like I said, I was born in the 70s, and now, you know, I don't meet a lot of Lisas. So I think this is going to be the next like Myrtle or Mabel. You know.
Anybody ever pull this one on you? You're like posing for a picture and you're not smiling and they say, come on, give us a smile, Mona Lisa.
I have heard that actually. That's right. The Mona Lisa. I saw the Mona Lisa recently on my trip there to the Louvre.
Somebody should make a book called Dad Jokes for Every Name. So whatever name it is, you're ready to go with some terrible. And then, well, here's one that I'm like excited about because she's going to be a guest on the show, on this same show soon. It's I don't know why we're getting so many Lisas, but her name is Lisa Loeb.
Oh, look at that. See?
Yeah, who is...
a lot of Lisas out there, unassuming, like you said.
Yeah, exactly. But she's been... she's been one of those people that, you know, she's got the same thing, John Stamos, and who else they say it about? Oh, Paul Rudd, the, you know, the not aging thing. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. She like looked at her face in the, she looked at her face in the mirror and said, stay. Okay. So we're really cooking here because, yeah, because we already covered the middle name situation. That makes your initials LMC.
Yes.
Sounds like maybe like a some sort of like a car brand or something. Oh, I drive it. LMC.
Or a DJ. I could be a DJ.
You see that Black Beauty over there? That's an LMC. Yeah. Okay, so. Let's do this last name. Let's get into it further. We talked about it a little bit at the beginning, but just what kind of comedy of errors has it been with spelling, pronunciation?
All of that. Yeah, no one can ever. People want to give it extra syllables because you see the double R and there's two O's in it. So people just want to put more into it. So a common mispronunciation is Carrero. I guess that's the same amount of syllables, though. Now I'm saying that out loud. Carrero. Yeah. But they want to just give it more than it needs. And like I'll get Corrado, Crayola. You know, they just start shooting out sounds that, you know, they see some letters and jumble them up. I don't care. I'm like, when, you know, we get introduced on stage, so people have to say our names publicly a lot. So I know that the MC will ask, I'll tell them, and I'm like, don't worry about it. people aren't remembering it in that moment anyway. You know, there's going to be one guy with that great memory, right? That's going to be like, but I thought your name was Corrado. I'm like, no. Yeah, that stuff doesn't matter to me. You can say it wrong. But yeah, that's the common. I don't remember what the question was going.
That's all right. Doug Mellard. I was just sitting here thinking about Doug Mellard and how his last name is Mellard because, you know, the hosts are always going to get it wrong. And you can't be like, even when they say Benson wrong, even when they get something wrong about my intro, it's like, you know, it's just such a terrible impulse to the first thing you say is correcting the host about something because nobody cares.
But then you're the jerk. So you can't do that.
Yeah, it's hard not to seem like you're shitting on somebody for, you know, and I remember it happening so much to me. Like, you know, when I start off hosting shows, like there are just headliners out there that were just like, you know, they're just terrible to you if you would do something as awful as screw up their intro or whatever, you know, but there's people that know the difference. I hope there's people that know the difference between an honest mistake and when someone's not trying. Because that's what I find a lot of in the comedy world these days is nobody wants to be the host, really, of a stand-up show. It's kind of like the job they throw to people that are the newest in the game. So they're terrible at intros.
Yeah. That is really true. It's kind of becoming a lost art for sure.
Well, yeah, they're so focused on, you know, they're nervous about their new material being new to comedy. They're so focused on their set. They're not going to, the last thing they care about is delivering a name when it's actually pretty important. But yeah, I did a show once where I was headlining and they just, the guy bombed in front of me. It was awful. And then gave me fake credits and then just brought me up by like some completely different, like Frank Willis or what. I was just like, what the hell was any of that? And then on top of that, I told them, I don't want any alcohol. Like it was a very drink heavy club. I was like, I don't want any like shots or anything. I'm not doing that. And I was like, if you really feel like you got to do it, give me a fake shot. They brought me a real shot. And then everybody was like, drink, drink, drink. And,
oh, man.
It was a rough, rough, rough night.
Jeez, yeah, that's terrible.
It used to be much worse. You know, it's getting better all the time in terms of that, just because there's just more people coming out to comedy that aren't there just to get shit-faced. But it's still amazing how a crowd will rally around the idea of, you know, like if you're in the middle of your set, like especially if you're in the middle of a bit, there's no recovering that bit if you don't do that shot.
Right.
You can't just go back to talking about what you're talking about. Because whether it's a real or imagined, that audience is just sitting there going, he just set that shot down. He's not going to do it. Like that's what they're thinking about.
Yeah.
You know, it's so crazy. But I used to do the fake shot thing all the time because I just tell the club, listen, I can't, you know, I didn't want to say don't send me up shots because it's like helping the club to make money.
Sure,
the more everybody drinks, the more that, you know, more the club makes. And so it's, you know, I got really caught up in like, it was fun to do shots on stage because it did seem to like sell more alcohol.
Yeah,
but
totally.
No, I don't feel that way. No, I want.
I can't hold my liquor. Safe. So I can't handle. I can't be a good comedian anymore if I do even a shot. I just start slurring. It gets bad real, real fast. And so I've just learned. One time I did it, and I was like, I will never do that again. I thought this is fun. Look at it. The audience loves me. And I don't know how many it was, but I'm drunk after one. So I've had a couple and I was like, I can't make words right now. So why did I listen to people, you know?
Yeah, I can hold my liquor, but the older I get, the more horrible the reaction to an actual shot. Like, it just makes me want to throw up a shot. Like, I can do a drink, but a shot, I can feel it coming up my throat. I'm like, nobody wants to see that. I don't want to have to fight that during a show. It's awful.
I wouldn't say nobody wants to see
what if that just became my gimmick? Like, Doug, the vomiting comedian.
Right. Some people have a catchphrase. You just vomit after every punchline.
Just take a shot, and then I vomit. Die. Take a shot, vomit. I love it. You know, people. Some acts need structure. and goal. It's got to be goal oriented. I've been enjoying, you know, that it feels like there's going to be a renaissance of, you know, people like clubs where weed is allowed, but you wouldn't perform in that environment, would you, Lisa?
In a weed club? Well, I've worked with
it was outside. If it was outside, you would. But I mean, but you know what I mean? Like, you would you perform somewhere where, like, the whole audience is smoking and the room's full of smoke, or do you feel like that would also throw you off?
Oh, I have, and it does, for sure. I definitely get a contact high so easily. And I've been, you know, I've done shows that took place inside of dispensaries, and everyone's getting high. And I don't know if I got funnier, but everyone was laughing. I don't know if they were just high, and I was also high, you know, from the contact high. And but yeah, I think I divulge more on stage, so I think it's actually good because I get more vulnerable, and I'm like, I just start sharing whatever weirdness is in my head. So yeah, I've done it. I would do it again, and I support it. No problem.
All right, back to your name. How often have you, outside of your own family, run into anybody with your last name?
Oh, quite a bit. Yeah, there's more Correos out there than you think. You know, with you know what, it started on Facebook where other Correos would start reaching out to me, and then we would try to figure out if we were related. And I became friends with someone named Joe Correo, and we haven't been able to find how we're related or if we're related, but we call each other cousins. He's an animator, and he's such a good animator, Joe Correo. He's a great artist and animator. And you know, we chit chat every now and again and kind of get caught up on things, and we might talk about other Correos. My cousins in Italy, you know, I don't know if they're actually my cousins. I'm pretty sure they are, but we say that we are, you know, and I get along with all of them. And every time I've been, we have a good time hanging out. But my name, Correo, comes from Sicily, especially the Palermo area of Sicily. There's a lot of Correos from there, and it seems to be where we trace it all back. And so, yeah, I meet more than you think. I think that Joe Correo, the animator, was probably, you know, the coolest one. But they're out there. Oh, and I think that the head of Comedy Central, when I started comedy, was a Correo, I believe.
Yeah, and I think she went with the owl on the end. So that's part of what has always led to my confusion, is I knew her before I knew you. And I think she's Correo or Correo. Yeah, I'm not
Corral.
Sure.
Corral. She goes with the real pronunciation.
Lauren. Was it Lauren Corral? Is that
yes,
it?
Yes, yes. Yeah. She was like the head of MTV or Comedy Central.
She was way up there. Yeah. Way up there, yeah.
Oh, man. Too bad there's no nepotism. I didn't see a piece of that. I don't know who's in charge now. Who's Mr. or Mrs. Comedy Central nowadays?
No wonder you're trying to reach out to all the other Correos. Right. Just find somebody that, you know, you could nepo off of.
Find some perks.
Well, here's the most important question that we ask all of our guests. We're almost out of time, but we're going to squeeze it in because it's so important. How about Dougs? Have you had many Dougs in your life?
No, I haven't. Doug's, I followed Doug the Pug.
One of the best Dougs. We'd get him as a guest if it made any sense.
Oh, if you could get Doug the Pug, that would be amazing. Doug the Pug is so famous. Doug Benson, that's you. Doug Mellard, that's you. Wait, did I say your name?
Yeah, you got it.
That's the first time I've ever said it. It was right now. So I got self-conscious halfway through. I got self-conscious when I got to right there. I was like, uh-oh. Great.
You landed it.
Yeah, I landed it. Thank God. You're it. You guys are it. And Doug the Pug. I don't know any other Dougs. Wait,
Wow.
no, that's not true. I know Doug Stanhope.
Yes.
Know Doug
Yeah.
Stanhope. I know Doug Smith.
Yep,
Oh,
there's
yeah.
Canadian ones, they're pretty obvious, but like outside of the world of comedy, because that's why those
Yeah.
people. You don't know them because they're named Doug. So
True.
yeah, so outside of comedy, you just really haven't
Yeah.
gravitated to
Nope.
Dougs.
Nope. I would
Nor
not know.
them
Had I
to
not
you.
started comedy, I would not know people. Period. So I put all people in that category.
It is wild how, like, especially in the earlier days of stand-up comedy, you really are like just it's you're just trying to get a career going. So you spend so much time around stand-up comedy that that's really is all the people you know are also involved in it in some way. Lisa, you've been a terrific guest. This hour flew by. Do you have anything that you would like to plug?
Yes, I have a new YouTube channel. So I love to cook. And so I started making funny cooking videos, and I call it Lisa Loves Food on YouTube. And I need subscribers to that. So check those out, everybody. Lisa Loves Food.
I love
Yay.
it. I love that you're loving food on the YouTube. So yeah, everybody check that out, and then based off of our conversation, see if you can figure out how to spell her name and find her on social media. But you don't really mess with the now it's called X. You don't fool around with that much.
Yeah, not really. I still I'll post my when I have a new video, I put it on there, but other than that, it's kind of like tumbleweeds blowing by every time you go over there, you know?
Yeah, no, it gets worse every day, but I'm hanging in there. I want
Oh,
to, you
cool.
know, I want to either watch it all burn down or get revitalized somehow or whatever's going to
Yeah.
happen. But I'm also like trying to, fortify my Instagram, and I'm even thinking about wading into TikTok just to have other places for my content. Content. Yikes. Okay, so Doug, what do you want to promote?
I too have content.
Yeah.
I will be this weekend, I guess, because of when we record this a few days after Mean Girl Day, or when we release it, we'll say October 6th and 7th, Vermont Comedy Club opening for Dan Cummins. And then I will be
Oh.
with you at Cap City here in Austin, Texas, which will be
Neat.
super fun. Can't wait for that. And I'll be back at Cap City headlining the Red Room November 2nd. How about you?
All right.
That's a full ass schedule of content.
Yeah, he's taking his content to content clubs, and I've heard that the audiences are very content when they see it. I
Ooh,
have
nice.
all of my dates and deets at DougLovesMovies.com. Most importantly, I'd say at this point is October 17th, Doug Loves Movies is going to be we're going to start taping episodes at the Improv Lab, the lab at the Improv on Melrose Avenue, the world famous Melrose Improv. Come out to that on October 17th if you're in the LA area. And yeah, thanks again to Lisa Correo. And
I think I know your
Thank
title this
you.
time.
Thank
You
you. Oh,
do?
wait, I thought of one too. Can we compare?
Okay.
Maybe we have the same, maybe we thought of the same thing.
Okay,
I go
go
first, you
for
go
it.
first. I'll go first.
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking Doug, and the Lisa Jam.
Oh,
Oh,
yeah. I had
okay.
Lisa, and the Doug Jam, so very close.
Doug Jam is disgusting, but I like it. Lisa, and ampersand if we could do that. Doug Jam. Okay. Sold. Thank you, Lisa. Talk to you
Thank
next time,
you.
Doug.
Yeah,
As
thanks.
always, Lisa, and Doug Jam.